We learned Friday that the economy added 103,000 jobs in March. The unemployment rate held steady at 4.1%. But I want to zero in on one particular job, teacher.
I find myself being stressed about making my rent payments every month. I worry about saving for my future. I'm stressed about helping my children pay for college. I'm concerned that I can't save enough money for vacations.
I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. That was Nancy Belange. She teaches AP U.S. History in California. And this week, we're going to start with the recent protests and walkouts by teachers in Kentucky, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Arizona over working conditions, pay, and benefits. One big issue is the post-recession recovery. You may have heard my colleague Amy Scott's report earlier this week that 29 states have less funding per student now than they did in 2008. So how has school funding changed, and what does it mean for teachers? Nancy Belange, who you just heard, teaches in the Orange Unified School District in Southern California. She says she and her colleagues took a pay cut from 2008 to 2015 in the form of fewer paid workdays.
It was difficult. We had furlough days, and so our salaries were decreased because of those furlough days, just because of the district budget. It was really hard to make ends meet at home, raising three kids. It was difficult.
The district did give teachers a 2% raise in 2016, and old textbooks are being replaced with new editions. But as we've seen, a lot of issues remain across the country. Let's look at the big picture of school funding with Mike Griffith. He's a school finance consultant at the nonpartisan Education Commission of the States.
So coming out of the recession, I think a lot of states were expecting that they'd have additional dollars to kind of fill the holes of the cuts they made between sort of 2008 and 2010 or 11. What has happened, though, is most states have not had these additional dollars available for a lot of various reasons. Some of it is states rely on sales tax revenue in a lot of cases, and sales taxes have not picked up to the point that they were at before the recession for a lot of different reasons. In other cases, states have made some budget decisions or tax policy decisions that have reduced their state revenue. So the money just hasn't been there like we would anticipate after a recession. So what states have had to do is either flat fund education in a lot of cases, or in some states actually reduce education spending. So that's really impacted school districts. And one of the big things that gets impacted are teacher salaries and benefits. They account for about 60 to 65% of all education spending. So when we talk about there being flat money available, it's really going to probably impact teacher salaries and benefits.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you cut spending on teacher salaries and benefits, what does that mean for teachers and what does that mean in the classroom?
It means a lot of things. What we're seeing in states and especially in school districts in the middle part of the country is they're having a difficult time recruiting and retaining teachers, qualified teachers. And so, you know, there's always been a difficulty in smaller school districts in this country to get a qualified, say, math teacher, science, or special ed teacher. But they're starting to see these shortages across the board. And we're also starting to see it in larger districts and suburban districts that really haven't had these problems before. There's also something else that goes in there with spending, too, is, you know, for any job, it's not just your pay and your benefits. It's everything else within your day-to-day job. And so what we're hearing from teachers from around the country is they don't have the modern textbooks that they need. They don't have the technology that they need. They don't have the support outside of the classroom because of budget cuts. So you don't have people like as many counselors as they used to have or librarians or the other types of people that help teachers do their job day to day. So it's not just pay and benefits, it's everything else that surrounds the job.
You know, when we listen to a teacher talk about how hard this is, what's the other side of this coin? What are the states saying? Obviously, there is school financing on the local level, but when you look at this and these statewide strikes, there must be a reason that states are funding things where they are. What is it?
So I think, you know, what has happened is states made a lot of different decisions about limiting state revenue over the past decade or so. What that has meant is the dollars are not available unless you create some sort of tax increase. And a lot of legislators have kind of vowed and said they do not want to increase taxes. So what you're seeing states doing, because, you know, overall state revenue is flat, is they're trying to rob Peter to pay Paul and take money from other parts of the budget and put it into education. But that's still not enough. And, you know, you're looking at some states that are, you know, have hit that point now that all of the budget maneuvering they can do is kind of tapped out. That now the only way to produce additional revenue is to increase taxes. And that's where, you know, you're really seeing the rubber hit the road. And state legislatures are struggling with what do we do at this point.
What's at stake during these strikes?
You know, a lot of different things. From the teacher's side, in most of these states, there are rules and laws against striking. So they can either lose pay for the number of days that they're on strike, or in some cases, theoretically, they could be fired for striking. So they're taking a chance on that end. From, you know, the state's end, what they're looking at is how do we solve this problem without additional dollars? How do we get to a point that we can provide a pay increase, a benefit increase this year, and know that we'd have to sustain it for all the years kind of forward? You know, so if you spend an extra, I'm just going to say $100 million on teacher salaries this year, that means that you're pretty much going to have to do that next year plus inflation just to keep pace. So, you know, I think from both ends, there's a struggle going on. You know, and from the school district's end, in some of these states, the amount of money that they have made available to spend is really dictated by the state funding formula. In some states, there isn't a lot of flexibility for districts to raise their own money. So they're kind of stuck between these two. They'd like to provide their teachers with additional salary and benefits. They know that would help them recruit more people and to retain the quality teachers that they have. But they can't do much about it. So they're sort of, school district people are very often sitting on the sidelines for these, hoping that the state can find more money that they can give to their teachers, but not really being able to do anything on either side of this.
Mike Griffith is a school finance consultant at the Education Commission of the States. Thank you so much, Mike.
Oh, no problem.
So what's it like to be a teacher working in the post-recession recovery? Well, let's hear from another one.
My name is Maggie Maslowski. I live in Illinois, and I teach in Joliet at Joliet West High School. I am a high school English teacher, and I also am a grad school professor at a grad school in Joliet as well.
Maslowski started her teaching career in a private school, teaching K through 8th grade.
And I only made about $19,000, and that was back in 2003. So first job teaching 6 preps, so you had to prepare for 6 different classes with 6 different groups of students, and only $19,000 is what I got paid.
And on that salary,
if I wanted to decorate my room, I would have to buy my own stuff.
It was a private school, so some parents were in a position to make donations and ease the burden, but the pay just wasn't enough. Fast forward 4 years to 2007, and Maslowski moved to a public school.
I doubled my salary. My salary was double, and my insurance was better, and I only had to teach 3 preps. So my workload was cut in half, but my pay was doubled.
While things improved for her, the financial crisis brought about changes for her students and what she could do with them.
Back in 2007, I know I took my students on like a field trip. I did a field trip once a year that coincided with lessons that we did in class. And the school paid for the buses. The kids did not have to worry about paying for buses. But then just 2-3 years later, we were told no more field trips because the state no longer paid for school buses.
Now the school district pays for buses, not the state. But the crash also hit other things.
We don't have personal copy machines or printers in our classrooms. Each classroom would have a printer, and you could print whatever you wanted. So you have 300 teachers using 3 or 4 different printers.
For Maslowski, even with these issues, she recognizes things at her school are better than most. Teachers receive annual raises and health insurance, although out-of-pocket expenses have increased. But the situation is different for a nearby school.
Their district had 3 high schools, and it dwindled down to 2, so one of the buildings is no longer in usage, and their teachers are on a freeze. They don't get a salary increase, and their teachers are trying to find different jobs because they are not paid well.
That's Maggie Mislowski, an English teacher from Joliet, Illinois. Her experience is just one of thousands of stories from educators in the U.S. And if you want to add your thoughts to this, the impact of state funding on teaching, just let us know. Our email is weekend@marketplace.org, or you can call us and leave a message, 1-800-648-5114.